You have your Bibles, Acts chapter 5. Brother Mel, you brought back, Rose and I used to always go hear these gospels when I was younger, 20, 30 years ago. We used to go hear gospel singing, and that's the kind of songs they used to sing all the time. They didn't have all this wild, now it's all the wild, crazy junk now, but they used to have real songs like that years gone by. That's good stuff. Keep doing those kind of songs. That's good for the people. Amen. I know Brother Bobby and Mildred saying amen to that. That's the kind of stuff we like. That's the stuff we grew up with, didn't we, Bobby? That's the good stuff, man. Hey, I believe God's pleased with that old time singing. I really do. And I wouldn't give you nothing for contemporary junk today. But I sure like the old time stuff. Give me the old time religion. Good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Good to see each one of you. Miss Arlene, you got your son and some friends, and that's great. Yeah, got in that car accident. We prayed for you. I'm glad to see you're doing better. You're actually doing better than I thought. You could have been killed in that accident. That's a miracle you walked away from. You didn't walk away, but a miracle you lived from it. We're glad you're here. Glad you're doing better. We sure love your mama, I'll tell you that. Your mama's something special here. She's a VIP here. When your mama prays, heaven stops and says, "What are you saying down there, Arlene? You're important to us." That's how close she walks to the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. And we're glad you're here today. And let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 1. By the way, Blessing of the Bikers, what's that date, Sean? May 6th, okay. Blessing of the Bikers, May 6th. Alrighty, Acts chapter 5, and look at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira's wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power?" In other words, hey, you could have done anything you want with it. "Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God?" Boy, be careful when you lie against God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. That means he died. The moment you die, your soul and spirit leave. Matter of fact, scientifically, they actually say, I don't know how they did it, they had some kind of machines. A person dies, you lose a fraction of a weight. It's real. It's very minor, very minuscule, if you can use that word. But they do say that's that soul and spirit. Whenever you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. You have an eternal spirit and soul that lives forever. And the moment you die, either goes to heaven or it goes to hell. But it does leave the body. The body goes back to the ground. We were made out of, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathing his nostrils, the breath of life, man became a living soul, Genesis 2:7. And so your body goes back to dust. One day it's going to be resurrected, and if it's resurrected for glory, you'll have a glorious body that your soul and spirit are going to live forever there. If not, you'll live in it forever in hell, but you'll have an eternal body that's going to live forever somewhere. Well, I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Let's look at verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. I imagine they did. People just dropping dead. And the young men rose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him, just like a mummy, like Lazarus. Remember how they just wound him up? And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Now his wife comes in. I'll tell you later where she was. I think I know where she was. And Peter answered unto her, and tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Wop, wop, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. There goes Lizzie. And the young men came in and found her dead, carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I'm going to tell you right now, you see people dropping. Great fear. I had a church years ago. Some men inside that church said some evil things about me and my wife and kept me from getting to church, which, praise the Lord, God, because I wouldn't have been here if it wouldn't have been for that. And as I walked out, I told a man, I said, the Lord's going to visit you, John. Because the man whose name was John that did so much evil. Well, soon after, he just dropped dead. And the rest of them that lied about me was calling, begging me to ask God not to kill them. Wow. Yeah. Hello. And I did. I said, all right, I'm going to do it, you rascals. Toledo, Ohio, Liberty Baptist Church. You want to check it out? Go on. Ask about John. Brother John. Anyways, and he was a saved man. But you ought not touch God's anointed. And he lied about, he literally said lies. And but that's right, God meant it for, worked it out for good. Because had he not lied, I wouldn't be here right now. So I'm glad he lied. Worked out for good. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest of no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. See, they saw these miracles. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by overshadowed some of them. Then came also a multitude out of the cities round about to Jerusalem, bringing their sick folk to them, which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. I'm going to tell you, God can heal people. He's a great physician. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, I really believe this is what you put in my heart to preach today. Holy Spirit, fill me. Help me to preach well. Help me to preach with power. May Christ be risen high. May people see the Lord Jesus risen and reigning and returning. Lord, help me to do well for you that I can be a blessing to each one here. Help people to hear today. Help people to receive today the engrafted word of God, I pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you read this chapter 5 and these first 7-8 chapters of Acts, Brother Billy, the early church, it was a going church and it was a growing church. Because any church that goes will grow. Amen. But the early church at Jerusalem saw great miracles and signs from God by the hands of the apostles. Now, can I tell you something? All the apostles are dead. I don't have those powers that those apostles had. By the way, the reason they had it, they didn't see, Brother Coolidge, right? They didn't have the full written word of God like you and I do. They just had, see, it hadn't all been written yet. And God gave them signs and wonders so unbelieving Jews could see and be saved. I wrote down here, 1 Corinthians 1:22. Stay where, don't leave Acts, because my whole message is in Acts. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, for the Jews require a sign. The Jews require a sign. They're always asking Jesus, show us a sign. Show us a sign. I wrote down Matthew 24:3. What shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world? They're always asking people, give us a sign. Give us a sign. That's what the Jews wanted. And so God, in the early church, because he had the whole Bible hadn't been written yet, he gave them signs for the Jews to be saved. And by the way, 1 Corinthians 14:22 tells us that signs were for not for those Jews that believed, but for those who did not believe. they had power for and signs for the unbelieving Jews. And so when you read some of these miracles, you say, wow. By the way, I still believe God can do miracles today if he sees fit. God's not limited. He can do anything he wants today. Amen? But the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks, the Gentiles, like you and I, seek after wisdom. By the way, only wisdom comes from God. But today, everybody's getting a college degree. The Gentiles, I noted our debt in school loans today is over $1 trillion. our country's $15 trillion in debt, over $15 trillion. And $1 trillion of that's for school loans. Not against it, I'm just saying. I feel sorry for the kids that have to go to school and mortgage their life away. To pay the rest of their life to try to pay for that school. Amen? Now listen. Now in Ephesians 4:11, it says God gave us prophets. He gave us evangelists, pastors, teachers. He gave us apostles. The Bible says Ephesians 4:11 said he gave us prophets, apostles, pastors, and evangelists and teachers. And by the way, we don't have the prophets and apostles. They're gone. But you still got the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers. Amen? And we don't have the gift of powers like the apostles did. But I'll tell you, we've got the full recorded word of God that they did not have. And that's where the power is at, in the word. God can still do miracles today. I've watched, and if you believe in miracles, God will do it. He says, I can do a miracle for anyone that believes. Trouble is, we don't even have and all of us, we're all the same. We don't even have the faith of a mustard seed, which is the tiniest seed of all. We don't even have, that's how much faith, we have very little faith, don't we? But I've seen God do miracles. I've seen God do miracles in my life. And he's still in the miracle business. I've shared a few things with you, and I'm not going to take a lot of time because I want to preach out of this scripture here at Acts 5. But when I was in Toledo, I saw a man that they said was going to die. He had a cancer in him as big as a pineapple. And they gave him just a few days to live. I've told this story before, but I want you just for your ears to hear. God can do miracles. I remember going in this. See him. His name was Joe Talmatez. He was a member of Liberty Baptist Church at the time. And Brother Dave Luther, who was associate, said, what are you going to say when you get in there? I said, I don't know what I'm going to say. God will put something in my mouth. Just get in there. Let's do it. Everybody was crying. Everybody was weeping. They gave him a little time to live. And all of a sudden, I was in there. I started cracking jokes, having fun with him. And then I said this, Jordan, my mouth said this. I said, my mouth said it. I said, you're not going to die. God's going to heal you. And it got, you could have dropped a pin. And when how many of you ever said something said, oh, did that come out of me? And I thought, oh, my soul. And so when you get in a place like that, fellas, if you're the best thing to do is bow your heads and pray. And I said, Joe, I got to go, but I'm going to pray. And I begged God to heal him. Well, you know the story. Before they released him, they wanted to take one more x-ray to see where it was. And they took it, and the machine must be broke. They took him in another day, another couple days more, and they finally said, Mr. Talmatez, we thought our machine was broke, but here's your cancer. We've taken the other one today. Here's the picture of the one that you had. We don't have an answer, but that what you had is not in, it's not there no longer. And Joe walked out of there with, he had cancer size of a pineapple, and he walked out with no cancer, not even a pea. Okay, and that's a miracle. Now I didn't heal Joe. God healed him. He did it for the unbelievers. He had an unbelieving brother-in-law that he really loved. And I witnessed that guy, and I got into him too. I said, you better get saved after God did this for Joe. By the way, as far as I know, Joe's still alive today. I know 20 years after he's still been alive, you know, I don't know what he's at, where he's at now, but God completely healed him of that cancer. God can do healings. And I'm not going to tell you everything I've seen God do, but it was a lady that was blind, and God told me to put my finger, and don't come up to me after church and say, pray. Don't do that. I'm not doing that for this. I'm doing it to try to get you to have faith that God can do things. And God told me during a church service I was supposed to put my fingers in. And I'm not a faith healer, but I have faith that God can heal. And this lady's in heaven now. And to make a long story short, she was blind, and God had me put my fingers. Her name was Eileen Stivers. And I put my fingers on, and first I went to her husband, and went to the pastor at the church there, and I said, I really believe God wants to heal Eileen. And they said, come on, let's do it. We thought he was going to do something. And I put my fingers, and I asked God to open her eyes, and she, her blind eyes, she saw. She came from blind to sight. So don't think God can't do stuff. He can. And I've seen him do it. Now, I didn't do that. God did it. I got a kick out of her, Arlene. She's a little lady, about the size of Lizzie, about 4 foot five, something like that, whatever it is, 5'9", whatever you are, 4'10". Anyways, and she, when the Lord did that night, it felt like electric went right through my fingers. And I didn't say one thing to anybody. And she came up to me the next day and said, hey, preacher, did you feel that heat? She said, man, did I feel heat all through my eyes. And I said, I didn't feel no heat, but I felt like electric going right through my fingers. Now, listen, I'm not whacked out. I didn't eat too many Cheerios before I came today. And I'm not a holy roller, but I have a holy God, and he can heal. And the reason he doesn't do miracles today is people don't believe he can. I just was a young preacher. Chuck, and believe God can do anything. I hate it when guys get older and they see, when you're young, you believe your God can do anything, so you just watch God do it, you know. And I could tell you story after story. I've seen it. I told my brother-in-law, his mama was dying. They said she wouldn't make it to the. She said, her name was Ann, and she has passed away since then. She died a few years ago. But when I first moved here, I was still living in Toledo. My brother-in-law Don came over and he said, my mama's dying. They don't think she'll live till tomorrow morning. And I said, I'm sorry to hear that. And I went over there. About 7 o'clock that night, I was reading my Bible at the house, and God said, call Don, tell him I'm going to heal his mom. And I called Don, I said, God just spoke to me. Now, I didn't hear a voice out of heaven. I didn't hear, hey, Pastor Skyver. No. God has the Holy Spirit in me. He has a still, small voice that you can hear. You don't hear it audibly, but you hear it within. And he told me, Billy, he said, you called Donnie. Now, remember, Donnie came over earlier that day and told me that he said his mom was going to die before morning. Around 7:30 that night, I called Don. I said, God just spoke to me, Don. Don was an unbeliever. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, God told me just go pray over and tell her that she's going to live. And I said, I'm going to do what he told me. I just want you to know, God told me your mom wasn't going to die. You better be walking with God and you make statements like that. You better know what God's saying it, not just another spirit. Well, I went to the Riverside Hospital, and she was in one of those big tents and everything. And I just said, Ann, it's the preacher. You're not going to die. God told me you're not going to die, and I'm going to pray over you. And sometime later tonight, you're going to get better. And so I prayed when God asked God to heal her and stuff like that. And I went home, and they said around 12:30, 1 o'clock that morning, she came out of that, and she ripped that stuff off, all that junk they had on her. And not only did she not die that morning, they released her in the afternoon. She went home. And so don't tell me God can't do miracles. He did do miracles with the apostles. I'm not an apostle. By the way, when you read the book of Revelation, chapter 21, in verse 14, it says there's the 12 foundations. There's one of the apostles named in each one. Mine's not in there because I'm not an apostle. There was only 12 of them. Hello? And I don't have the powers of an apostle, but you got to understand something. The powers that the apostles had came from God. They didn't have it themselves. It's all. If anything great comes, it comes from God. So don't ever give up on God. We have not because we ask not, and a lot of times we don't ask because we don't believe He can do it. God would love to do more miracles in today we live, but we just don't believe in miracles. And I'm not a charismatic, and I hope I'm not coming across as a charismatic today. But I'm not going to let the charismatic steal my faith. And Bobby, I'm not going to let the charismatic steal what I know God can do. I think what they do are phony, but I know what God does is real. Amen. Good, that's a good introduction, isn't it? Well, Brother Mike, I better get on to what I wrote down to preach. Well, let's look at this chapter 11, chapter 5. And I want to look at Ananias and Sapphira, what I want to look at. But I did want to read that because great things. And by the way, people will come when you look up here. When God starts doing miracles, always watch this. People will come to see a miracle. Say this with me. People will come to see a miracle. They will. When God starts doing miracles in churches, people come. And the miracle God wants for every person is to be saved. See, there's one miracle that God wants above all. It's the miracle of the new birth. The greatest miracle of all, and that's why Christ came, was so everyone else could be born again. It's a miracle that a guy like me could be saved. It's a miracle that a guy like me that got on the clean the streets, an alcoholic, can be going to heaven, have my sins forgiven, and I'm going to have a brand new body and live forever with Christ. That's a miracle. Amen? Well, I want to look at this couple here, Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some land, okay? And boy, first you see these first four or five verses, we see the husband comes to Peter. He's giving them money from this land. Of course, they get together in verse 2, and they do a little plot. You say, why wasn't she there? Well, you know why she wasn't there, girls. Every girl here knows why she wasn't there. Because when they got that money, they got that money from that land. J.C. Penney had a sale that day. Macy had a sale that day. Walmart had sales that day. Any red-blooded woman would go out and get, if you got money in your purse, you're going out getting some shoes and a dress. Because, Brother Mike, when there's a sale on, them girls are going to get it. Right, ladies? And that's the only reason she went with her husband. She had a few bucks in her pocket, and they had a big sale on one of those in the Jerusalem dress shop. And she went down and did a lot of shopping that morning, and she finally caught up. Okay, let's pick it up now. And that's preaching, isn't it? I tell you. Well, let's look what I wrote down here for you. Let's look at the verse 1. A certain man named Ananias, and he had a wife named Sapphira. They sold a possession. They sold some land. Verse 3 tells you that possession they sold was a piece of land. By the way, if hold your hand right there and just turn over to Acts chapter 3, and you'll see they probably got this thought from Acts chapter 3. They saw people do it. Look at Acts 3, verse 42 to 47. Don't lose Acts 5, but if you'll, well, maybe it's Acts chapter 2. Try Acts chapter 2. Let me try to get my glasses here. When you have diabetes, it attacks your eyesight, believe it or not. It really does. And they continued. I mean, got verse 42. They continued steadfast in apostles' doctrine, fellowship. Remember, this is only about a chapter before, a little over a chapter before chapter 5. Fellowship, breaking bread, prayers. Fear came up. Look at verse 43. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Amen. They were being done in chapter 5 too. And all that believed were together with one, had all things common. Boy, that's, you get a church with one heart. That's what we want here at Bethel. We just want to have one heart. All things, our number one thing should be for souls, to reach souls for hell, so they don't die and go to hell. Amen. And look at verse 45. They sold their possessions and their goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. So what they did, they sold their possession, they gave it to the apostles, and the apostles meted it out to who, how they needed it, and to the needy families. And so no doubt they either were there or they saw it, or both, because they were part of that church in Jerusalem there. So go back to Acts chapter 5. They probably wanted to, they wanted to be like those who sold their possessions, and they wanted to give it to the apostles. The only thing is, Satan got in their heart. Before they gave them, they said, oh, maybe, let's not give it. See, they said they're going to give it all. Don't make an oath to God. They didn't have to give it all. But they evidently, they made a thing to the Lord about, I'm going to give it all to you. All to Jesus, I surrender. Are you with me? And so when they got the money, though, Eddie, Ananias and Sapphira saying, man, I don't know. There's a motorcycle I'd like to buy. And she said, man, there's a dress. Let's just keep some of it out. Let's just tell Peter this is all we got. And they'll never know the difference. We'll pocket some, give them the rest, and everybody will be happy. They're happy, we're happy. But that ain't how it works. Hello? How many are with me? The only thing is, was those people in Acts chapter 3, verse 45, they gave willingly. Those people, they gave it willingly from their heart. See, they gave it willingly in Acts chapter 3. Are you still with me? Now, let me share something with you. 2 Corinthians 9, stay in Acts chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? A cheerful giver. Those people in Acts 3 were cheerful givers. Ananias and Sapphira, they were not given this money cheerfully because they put back part of it. So they weren't given, they weren't cheerful about it. Matter of fact, that they were given it, I think they changed it, they were grudgingly given it. wish we wouldn't have said that now. How many of you ever said something, boy, I said, I wish you wouldn't have said it now. So I need to be careful what we say sometimes, me included. They were not giving it. They were not giving it cheerfully. The Ananias and Sapphira's wife, they conspired, they lied, and they made a plan together to lie to Peter and to keep back part of that money. It was theirs to do, but the sad part is, it was theirs to do when they, before they did, had it, it was theirs to do what they pleased with. Look what Peter said in verse 3 and 4. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? How many in verse 3 there with me? He said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part? Listen, they didn't tell them to give it all. They said they wanted to give it all. Hello? They didn't have to give it all. Oh, by the way, the only part they had to give was what God requires is 10%. But they said, we're going to give it all, just like the rest of those people in Acts chapter 3. We're going to give it all like them. And Satan filled that heart to keep that part back, the piece of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not thine own power? Yeah. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but you've lied unto God. Here, you know what? We need to understand something. We lie to men, but don't lie to God. You make a promise to God, you better keep your promise. God forgives everything. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you make a promise to God, you need to be serious about that promise or don't make it at all. I know a lot of people, I've been a preacher, I've been with people in hospitals. Boy, God heals me, preacher. I'll be back in church and I'll never miss again. And they get healed and they never come back to church. They lie. You know, people say things but they don't really mean it. How many are with me? Now notice what it says there in verse 4. Thou hast conceived this thing in thine heart that thou hast not lied unto men but unto God. Don't lie to God about stuff. Be honest with God. Listen, they must have set a vow to God that they were going to give all of those proceeds to the Lord. They were only required to give 10%. And I'm going to read to you from Leviticus chapter 27. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Watch this. It is holy. Brother Bobby, that tithe that I put in today, that tithe you put in, it's the Lord's. Not only that 10% that God gave me, but it's holy. The tithe is holy. Quiet in here, but it is. And it is holy unto the Lord, verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth, one tenth, shall be holy unto the Lord. So if you make $10, a dollar goes to the Lord. Hello? And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man that wrote, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thy increase. The tithe is the first fruits of our increase. And then I want to read to you Malachi. You say, boy, preacher, you're talking, I'm almost done with the money. One more scripture. Two more scriptures. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He answers it in tithes and offerings. You are cursed. You that didn't put your tithe in today, look what the Bible says. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herein with the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, you put your tithe and I'll take care of you. He said, if you don't tithe, you got a curse on you. And then I love Brother Coolidge. Not only does the Bible teach in the Old Testament about giving 10% and tithing to God, and it's scriptural, and that's how he funds his local church. But in 1 Corinthians, if you look at keep your hand there in Acts, I got to go, and then I'll go back to it, and I'll be there the rest of the time. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I love verse 1 and 2, because it even tells you where to give your tithe and when to give your tithe. He tells you the tithe is 10%, and then he tells you where to give it. 1 Corinthians 16:1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Yuns, y'all, yuns. How many are getting it? So he's giving this thing to the churches. Upon the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. Let every one of you lay it in store as God hath prospered, that you be no gathering when I come. So on Sunday, you go to church. So on Sunday, you bring your tithe. On Sunday, you bring your tithe, that God, how God's blessed you during that week, to the church. And you give it to your local church, 10%. If you made $1,000, you give $100. If you made $100, you give $10. If you don't make nothing, you don't give nothing. Hello? And, but tithing, see, all they had to do was do that, but they didn't. That's not it, though, Bobby. They could have put their tithe in and kept all the 90%. But see, they told God, we're going to give it all to you. Hello? And listen, God blesses you with a blessing and when you honor him with the first fruits that he gives you. Malachi says, we're to bring our tithe to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't give it. They lied. And they kept back part. What part? Listen to me. They died because they lied to God. You won't die if you don't tithe. Quiet. Boy, I could have dropped a pin. But you'll never be blessed until you do. You'll never be happy until you do. You'll never be right with God until you do. You'll have a curse on you until you do. Matter of fact, if I didn't read all the scripture over there in Malachi, it actually says, Leviticus 27, around verse 31, it says if you don't tithe, if you don't put it in the next week, you're supposed to give 20%, double. You're double, like give 10, but you're double it because you got to pay for not doing it right the first time. Woo, preacher, you're really messing me over now. Of all days for me to come to church, preacher, I came on tithe day. I'll say this to you. I remember when I got saved. I was an alcoholic on Galena Street. Going to hell. And then God reached down and saved my soul. I can never repay God. There's no way I can repay God for saving me. There's no way I can repay God for dying for my sins. But I can at least show him I love him by honoring him with what he gives me. To me, that's just showing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I think some of us are on the brink of a miracle. And we either are on the brink of a miracle, you make sure you tithe or I'm coming after you. No, I'm kidding you. I won't have to. God will see you. I don't want to curse on our church. Now listen to me. They kept back part. And the whole message is this, and I'm going to close. What part have we kept back? We know what part they kept back, Ananias and Sapphira. But what part have you and I kept back this week? Let me give you some thoughts before you go home. Was it your tithe? Was it your tithe? Today, when that offering plate came by, did you put your tithe in? Is that the part you gave that you took back? Was it your time? Where are we keeping back? By the way, the message is this: What part have we kept back? That's the title, Jack. What part have we kept back? We know what Ananias kept back. What part have we kept take back? Did we get back? Did we keep back our tithe? Have we kept back our time? Do we give God time during the day? There's 24 hours in a day, so I figure 10% of 24 is 2.4 hours. So Phil, every day you and I and every Christian, we should at least give God 2.4 hours every day to God. In reading the Bible, prayer, witnessing, meditating on Him, doing something. But there ought to be every day there ought to be, Brother Carl, I believe if we want to be right, if the tithe is 10%, then tenth of a day, at least a tenth of a day we ought to give to God. Does that make sense to anybody? 24 hours a day, 2.4 hours. In those two, we ought to be reading our Bible, studying, a prayer, witnessing, or thinking on Him, or doing something, doing bus routes, or doing something for Him. Hello? I wonder, are we really being honest with God? You know, we rag on Ananias and Sapphira. Look at them dirty idiots. What about us? How much different are we than them? Notice, I wrote this down. Do our actions for our God prove our words for God? Like we say, we really love the Lord. Does our lifestyle prove that we love the Lord? You know, action. How many of you heard this statement? Actions speak louder than words. Do our actions for Christ speak louder than words? Do we seek Him every day? Do we try to draw close to Him each day? We should. Is He even in our thoughts during the 24 hours? I really believe some Christians, sometimes they get so busy. We get caught up so, look up here, we're living in a real world. You and I get so caught up sometimes in the business of this lifestyle that we're in, and we omit God from our life. We get so busy, running, we get to the end of the day and say, oh yeah, hey, thanks God. I'm glad you were here today. Would have been a lot better if we had took Him with us. Amen? Has there been days when we went through our lifestyle and gave Him little or no thought at all? He wants our thoughts. He wants us, our affection. Sometimes the husbands, you never tell your wives you love her. You never, well, she don't tell me she does. Don't have to. You need to tell her. Hello? I try not to let any day go by where I don't tell my wife I love her. You guys ought to make sure. Give your wife a hug. Oh, we've been married 30 years. Give her a hug anyways. Hello? And girls, it wouldn't be bad for you to tell him you love him too. And give him a little smooch once in a while. You're my He-Man, smoochy smooch. Get a little fire moving in him a little bit. Get a resurrection with that guy coming back. Amen? Look up here. God wants our affection too. I'll have people, well, preacher, he never pays no attention to me. How do you think God feels? We never pay no attention to Him. I mean, He's doing all for us, and we don't even think about Him. We don't even enter our thoughts about Him. Before you went and bought that car, before you do something, do you consult Him first? Before you go somewhere, do you talk to Him first? Hello? I mean, God wants to be part of our life, our daily life, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year. God wants to be with us. And we need to be near him. And we're not giving him the time. Oh, Ananias, they put some money in their pocket, but we do worse. Oh, we put our money in the plate, but where's our heart? Amen, Brother Mike? Where's our heart? I want to just say this in closing. I'm going to read this last scripture, and I'm going to close. And look at John chapter 21, verse 17. Familiar scripture. Here's what Jesus said to Peter. In John chapter 21, verse 17, I'm closing. He said to him the third time, Simon. By the way, he said to him the third time, Son of Jonas, lovest thou me? How many see that? Remember, if you study this earlier, Peter gave up on the Lord and said, oh, I go fishing. Remember that? He goes, and a lot of people follow him too. By the way, watch out what you do, because Bobby, if you would walk away from the Lord, there'll be people to follow you. You just don't take yourself down, you take other people with you. And when you really study the scripture, Josh, when Christ came and was on that shore and he called out to Peter, the Bible says Peter was naked. It's amazing when we get away from God just a little bit, how our dress code leaves us, how our language leaves us, how our thoughts leave. How many are with me yet? I mean, just a few days away from the Lord. And that's what he was succumbed to already. But the Bible said he girded up and jumped in and swam to the shore. Put those clothes on. Boy, he couldn't wait to get to Christ. He knew he messed up. How many of you ever come back to Christ and say, man, I know I messed up, Lord. We need to do that today. Jesus said, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me, Peter? Pete, do you really love me? Pete, if you really love me, then stay with me. Pete, if you really love me, get away from all that stuff you know is wrong. Pete, if you really love me, consult me and seek me and stay with me. Read my Bible. Pray. Go to church. By the way, the Bible says forsake not to assemble yourself. That means every time the church door is open, if we really want to walk with God, we ought to be in church. You know, Pastor Dave mentioned something earlier about counseling with people. I guarantee you know what the best counseling session for a person is? Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I guarantee you get me a person that goes to all four services during the week and the revivals, and they won't be in the office very often. Because the greatest counsel you can get is hearing the Word of God preached. How many faithful people you see in the hot box with the preacher in his office getting in trouble, except for Eddie. And Eddie's not been getting in trouble lately, scaring me. What's he been doing, Lizzie? Listen to me. No, he's been doing pretty good. I'm really proud of Eddie. I remember little Eddie and Kenny growing up and say, Dad, what'd you do again? Preacher's going to get you again, Dad. I wonder, in closing, I wonder today if Jesus is saying that to us. Lovest thou me? Do we really love him? I wonder how many times he said that to us this week. Did we read his word this week? Did we pray? Did we witness? Did we think about him? Did we just think about, just turn the TV off, and I hate to say it, but turn the radio off too. I love radio, so don't you? Especially short waves. Turn those things off. I love to go out on the land. A lot of times you'll see me out there in that land. I just go out and talk to God, walk around. Well, I'll tell you right now, just the Bible says, be still. Be still and know God. in this day that we live, Brother Marty, with all the wild wickedness and all the evil and the powers of darkness going in great, great power and everywhere, boy, we need to be still and know God. Amen? Oh, I know what Ananias and Sapphira kept back from Acts chapter 5. But I'm leaving you with this and I'm all done. Because God spoke to me this week. By the way, when preacher preaches these messages, he gives them up. We get beat up over first and you get it later. See, I haven't left the money back. No, I'm all in on the money. I'm all in on the money. I love giving God money. I do. I ain't kidding you. You check it out. But what about the other part? What about the part of studying the Bible? What about this part of reading, praying? What about the part of just thinking on Him? What about all these other parts that, during the day? Hello? What part have you left out? Hey, Bethel, we want a revival. How many want revival at this church? We got to find out those parts that we're leaving out with God. And we need to get those parts back in. Say, God, show me where I'm falling. By the way, a lot of times you don't got to show it. We already know what it is. We just got to say, admit, oh God, I'm failing here. I need to get this right. We need to come and say, oh God, He's right. That man's telling me the truth. I'm wrong. I've been holding back on you. And this is what I've been holding back on. And get close to God. And let Him work through your life.